Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it is time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Second day of September. A little earth, wind, and fire to get your
you
day going.
You are the only person I've ever found a September
Yes.
Song.
Of course.
Terrific.
I love that song.
I remember it now. When you,
I said to him, do you know the song September? He looked at me blankly.
I'm not sure. I know that one.
No, I know you know this song.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's a great song. It's a great month.
It is. You know what? I don't know what it is about, if it's psychological or what, but the minute I walked out the door, it was just cooler. Oh. It just felt cooler.
Well, it is cooler.
But, I mean, it's just this whole fall is here finally.
Exactly. How, you know, when temperatures drop 6 or 7 degrees.
It's incredible. It's crazy.
It makes such a huge difference. And the humidity is way down.
But it's sunny and beautiful. We have like 0% chance of rain for the next week. And it's going to be 70s in the morning.
Well, that's what I
80s.
Thought, Meg. But I watched the weather this morning, and they're talking, you know, back to the thunderstorm.
Oh, really?
Again.
Oh, I was watching last night.
I was watching last night.
Okay.
And it was sunshine.
Yeah,
the whole rest of the week.
That's okay.
But somebody has changed their mind.
Alan Strom.
Yeah, I don't know who's right or who's wrong. But
our friend Alan needs something to talk about, so we got to get some showers coming in here somewhere.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Thank goodness he doesn't have anything to talk about. Let me put it that way.
Oh, exactly. Nothing in the tropics.
Nothing, yes.
There's one way out there.
But, yeah, no, this is good. This is all good.
So far.
Okay.
So far.
So from a weekend perspective, let me guess, did you, FSU fan, have a good weekend this weekend?
Why would we have had a good weekend? Man?
I don't know, because all of my Alabama friends are very quiet. I'm not seeing any flags anywhere. I'm not hearing any Facebook posts.
So
quietly.
Proud of our team.
I was proud of your team, too.
I was so proud of them. And what a football game.
They looked great.
Oh,
I mean,
they looked really good. And you know what else I really enjoyed about that game were the kids.
Gosh,
spectators.
Yes.
I've never seen a crowd go that crazy for that long.
For the whole
game.
I have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same team.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something about beating Alabama that you just...
And then they charge the field,
which
is against the rules.
They just got fined. Did you hear?
$50,000.
Wow. That seems excessive to me.
That seems excessive to me, too.
To take that from education, I just don't think that's...
Somebody will say, I'll cover that.
Yeah, well,
because it was
worth every penny.
It was worth every penny to see those kids have such a good time. And I was just thinking, because I've got a grandson who is a brand new freshman in Florida State. Now, he's been to a lot of games
for
before.
Him. No, this is different.
But I bet there were a lot of kids there who may have been not a freshman, but may have been their very first college football game.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
That happened to me. It was my freshman year. Right. Alabama came to Georgia. Georgia beat them 21-0. It was a shutout. And I'd never seen anything like it. The whole campus went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, after the game, they were going up and down the streets, horns honking and cars going. I had never seen anything like it. And I remember calling my parents. This is before cell phones, and going and holding up the phone, listen to that. And people were just screaming. And this is hours after the game was over.
So funny you would say that, because I also have a granddaughter who's a sophomore at Florida State.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Big football fan. So I called her.
Right.
I said, maybe an hour after the game. I said, how about that game? She said, Papa, the streets are jammed with people.
Yes.
People are going crazy.
It's so much fun.
So happy.
Football, I don't know. Anyway. It's a Southern thing for sure.
I just love it.
I don't think that people really get it until you see that. You know, it's just,
exactly.
And God bless my friends that are FSU fans, because I have a good friend that's an FSU fan, and she's just been so unhappy for so long. And some of the games were just, you just sit there and cringe. And I spent 41 years watching Georgia lose, pretty much.
Right.
So I know what it feels like when you finally win a big one.
we got past last year, and we didn't know what we had this year.
Correct.
And I think we've got a great team. So here's what we're going to do. We'll quit talking football here.
This is the Garden Line.
But I will tell you this. We next play East Texas A&M,
then
Kent State, and then Virginia. If we can win those,
wow.
Virginia could be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Then we
you'll be in the running.
We host Miami.
Oh, they looked pretty good.
Always.
They do have our old quarterback, though, so Carson Beck.
Yeah, they do. they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, this is the Garden Line.
No more football, I promise.
Okay, we promise. Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. He is our garden expert. And if you have a gardening question, because we are getting into a new season now and there are things that need to be done, 850-437-1620. Text in your question, and I know Mike will do his best to answer it.
Well, we'll do our best. What we need to do is probably continue our discussion of things to do in the fall.
Yes.
We've talked about fertilization,
mm-hmm.
which now is the time, here in September.
Right now, okay.
You use your winterizer fertilizer.
And what does that mean, winterizer fertilizer?
Winterizer fertilizer has a different formula. And we did chat about that last week. It has a different formula than your spring fertilizer.
Okay.
In that all fertilizers, as we've discussed, have three numbers, 888, 15015, 1608, whatever. All fertilizers have three numbers. Well, the winterizer fertilizer also has three numbers, but the last number is bigger than the first two. So we like a 10, 5, 14. That is potash, mm-hmm. which is going to strengthen the roots. That particular element in the three numbers strengthens the roots of the lawn to help it get through the winter so that next spring it comes back stronger. And I used to tell people, yes, use the winterizer, but you won't be able to tell the difference mm-hmm. here in the fall because the grass is gradually going to go into dormancy. But you will know you did it next spring when that grass comes back stronger and healthier. So that's why we use winterizer. Yes.
Okay, we already have some questions rolling in, and one of them is about this topic. Green grass, question mark, seed when?
Oh, that is a great question. We could do a little one-hour seminar on that. But seeding, it depends on what seed you want to use. Let's talk about the one that you can use this time of year, or I'm going to say a little later in the fall, and that's, of course, winter ryegrass.
Mm-hmm.
That will make your lawn green all winter long. But there's one big disadvantage to winter rye. You have to mow it. And most of us have put our lawnmowers up, or will have, mm-hmm. by the time that winter rye is up. It's too early for it. It doesn't like this heat. And we're going to be back in the 90s by the end of the week. You don't want to put winter rye out yet. I would really wait until October to do it.
Okay.
Wait till the Interstate Fair comes to town.
And then, it's usually with the first weekend in October.
Yeah, but there are a couple of hints if you're going to use or put out winter rye. One, be sure you get current seed. Now, that takes some reading of the fine print, because if you got last year's a bag of that's labeled from last year, you may get some germination, some grass come up, but that percentage of grass that's going to come up from that seed is lower if the seed is older.
Okay.
So get good, fresh ryegrass seed. Buy Oregon annual ryegrass. It comes out of Oregon. But that's the best kind to get. And then when you put it out, you can water, 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 and you'll have a green lawn. But you'll have to maintain it. That's a disadvantage. Because you could put... Meg, we could put winter ryegrass out on that asphalt parking lot that you and I are looking at,
yeah.
and it'll come up
if
you put enough water on it.
Okay.
So it's not hard to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You've just got to find the right time. Don't do it when it's so hot, October, even November, even December.
Okay.
You know, just so it's cool weather.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We've got lots of questions coming in this morning, so go ahead.
No, I was just saying, we need to talk about that when we come back.
Okay, we'll continue that conversation. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 with Mike Wiggins. Let's continue our conversation,
yeah,
Mike.
Real quickly, we've got some great texts we need to get to, but real quick, let me finish the ryegrass discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about when to do it, how to do it, water and all that. Now, other grass seeds like centipede seed, which a lot of people use to either grow a lawn or to get into a section of your lawn that you may have trouble if you have centipede grass and put out centipede seed. Don't do it until spring. And really, to do centipede seed so it really does well, I like to do it in May.
Oh, wow.
When temperatures are up, because you want hot temperatures, a lot of water, of course, some preparation. And when we get to that time of year, we'll talk more about it. But don't put out centipede seed this time of year. Ryegrass is about the only seed to put out.
Okay. Well, on that note, we have a question from Steve in Escambia Bay, one of our regular listeners, who says, do I need to do a winter – you kind of already answered this, but do I need to do a winterized fertilizer on my centipede?
Absolutely. Well, there's no question. If you remember, centipede grass, one of the advantages of centipede grass is you really don't have to do that summer kick that you do for Zoysia and St. Augustine. A little organic thing like a mill organite or ironite or something is good. But it really, some people say, some of the experts will say, don't do anything. You don't have to do anything because centipede seed has less maintenance to it fertilizer-wise. So, but the winterizer is important.
Okay.
So, yes, I would certainly do that.
Okay. Was there anything else you wanted to say about seed?
No, I think that's got it.
You got it?
For now. That's a good topic, though. We'll probably hit that one again later.
Okay, got a couple comments that have come in. So, first of all, Sarah says the hummingbirds are back.
They are back.
And
she
lives over by NAS.
Yeah, and they are back in my yard.
That's what I've heard from several people now. Isn't that funny? They came later this year.
They came later, but it's like sitting in my backyard having a cup of coffee. It's like the blue angels are flying over.
Oh, I know. They're there. That's great.
Oh, they are there. So,
I love it.
Yes, so keep in mind now, if you have a hummingbird feeder, I know it's a lot of trouble, but you need to change out that hummingbird food that you have hummingbird feeder. I'd say at least once a week.
Even when there's this many right now, you don't do it more often?
Exactly.
Or?
Yeah, I just think you need to do that to maintain them coming to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Some experts even say every 3 or 4 days. That's too much trouble.
Okay.
Maybe once.
Unless you have time.
I think once a week is good.
Okay.
So it's fun to see them. That's really great.
All right. We've got some more questions coming in, so we'll try to get to all of them.
Steve have one other thing?
Yes, he said, can I put a pre-emergent in my perennial bed?
Yeah, that's a good point. There are a couple of products out that you are granular. You can sprinkle in and scratch in your perennial bed. That is a pre-emergence. I think Preen is one of them, but there are other ones on the market too. So, yes, you could do that. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the weeds that are there are annual weeds that the cold weather is going to get, if we have real cold weather.
Right.
Unlike dollarweed, for example, is an annual. The cold weather should get it. But when we have a mild winter, it's sort of, this is not scientific, so if your scientists are listening, it kind of turns into a perennial. It lasts through the winter and comes back next year, gets stronger, and the root system gets stronger. So, but yes, be it an annual weed or even a perennial weed, a pre-emergence is good because that's one of the other things for fall that we've talked about is to use your atrazine or some of your other pre-emergents in your yard in November.
Wow,
November to keep some of the winter weeds from coming back. And then in February, we repeat that to keep the springtime weeds from coming up. It's not perfect. Those products are not perfect because you've got to do everything else right. Water right, mow right. If you have shade, prune your trees so you get more sun. A lot of things you can do to make that lawn lush and thick. That's your best weed deterrent. But the pre-emergents help also.
Boy, we're getting lots of information this morning on the Garden Line. Mike is so knowledgeable. So if you're in your car and you can't take notes, you can always re-listen on our website at podcast. You'll just click on at newsradio923.com, click on podcast, click on Garden Line, and you can look back at all the shows. Plus, there's a rebroadcast on Saturday mornings at 9.
Right.
You miss it. But be taking notes because we're covering a lot of topics this morning.
Right. I did want to mention one more thing about grass seed.
Yes, sir.
I'll be quiet.
Your show, but
there's a product, a Zenith grass seed, which is a Zoysia seed.
Okay.
I have never used it, and I really don't know any of my old customers or friends who have used a Zoysia grass seed. If anybody listening has done it, used it, let us know if it worked, if it didn't work, because it's put out by a company called Centiseed, which is the premier centipede grass producer in the South.
Interesting.
But they also sell that Zenith soja seed. I would love to hear some results of that, because I have never seen or heard of anybody that's used it.
Interesting. So if a listener has been planting Zenith soja. Zenith. God, say that three times.
Remember last
fast.
Week? Last week, somebody asked us to spell it. I said, we're in trouble here.
Zenith zoysia grass. 850-437-1620. You can think about that for a minute. We'll be back right after the break. News Radio 92.3. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I know that y'all know that Mike Wiggins is funny on the air. When we go to these breaks, he gets me laughing, and I'm sorry. I'm almost lost my voice. I've been laughing so hard. Anyway, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, and want to thank one of our listeners that had sent in some stuff for us.
Well, this is not just one of our listeners. This is
our special.
Catherine sent me a little packet here, and it has two things in it. One has got the latest edition of the Audubon magazine.
That's so cool.
And it has got the most unbelievable pictures. And if you ever see, get a copy of it, or maybe even look it up on the Internet, because you'll see the pictures of the birds are just amazing. But also she sent an article out of the News Journal with pictures of the Luna Court this year during the fiesta.
And there's someone special on that court, I believe.
Someone special, my granddaughter. Daughter Kate, a princess,
and she's so pretty.
In the court, and she had a absolute fabulous time.
Oh, that's so great! And you were on the court, yes?
Oh, way, way back. I'll tell you how long ago that was. Do you know who my DeLuna? I was a knight. You know who my DeLuna was?
I'm afraid to know.
No, you'll know.
Who?
Vince Wibbs.
Oh, no kidding.
In 1986.
Wow. Okay.
Ooh, that was. I don't want to do that math.
No, we won't do that math.
We won't do that.
But thank you, Catherine. She actually dropped that off last week, and there's a whole lot of reasons why I didn't get it, but I finally got it tonight.
Well, it's a distance to the mailbox.
I told Mike this. I said, I don't get any mail in my mailbox. And so then right after the show, I decided to check it, and sure enough, there was something there. And he goes, see, you get mail? I said, no, it was for you.
There you go. Anyway, thank you, Catherine. I love your packets. And I really appreciate it.
You're such a sweetie. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You are the best. What we're going to do when we get back at this next break, which is going to be in just a minute, is talk a little bit about that fall vegetable gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go back to our old favorite sheet of paper here, the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide for Fall.
Excellent.
And it will list all of the vegetables that one can grow.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall.
Excellent.
And there's so many of them. And a lot of people really do prefer fall gardening to spring gardening. You have less varmints attacking them, less when to plant it, because you're trying to avoid that frost. But some of these things, of course, we'll take the frost.
Right.
So we'll talk about it when we get back.
Excellent. So we're talking with Mike Wiggins, our expert on the Pensacola Expert Panel's Garden Line. If you have a question, we've got a whole other half hour to answer your questions. 850-437-1620. What are you doing with your garden this fall, or your lawn, or your landscape? Got a question about it? He is the expert. Mike Wiggins is here, and we'll be back with Pep Talk right after the news. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk in September, if you can believe it. Getting ready for fall. Well, we're in fall now, I guess, officially, aren't we, Mike?
We are very close.
Mike Wiggins is our host, and he has said to me, we got a question from Sarah, and she was asking about when is it time. Let me get pull the question up here real quick. She was wanting to know when to plant fall garden vegetables, and says, love your program, Mike.
Oh, well, and thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. The Florida Panhandle Planting Guide will list many of these plants that we can plant in September. Okay. I'm just going to kind of do a lightning round through.
Okay, go. Ready? Go for it.
Here we go. Beets, not my favorite.
Sorry. Not my favorite either, but okay.
If you want to. Broccoli.
Okay.
Cabbage. A lot of people grow cabbage. And do you remember we talked last week about the ornamental cabbage?
Yes, we did.
Kale?
Yes.
Different, obviously.
This is the edible cabbage.
This is the edible cabbage. The ornamental cabbage likes that cold weather. And this cabbage will like cold weather also. Carrots.
Okay.
Bugs Bunny type thing. where are we? Okay. Oh, a lot of people plant greens. Collard greens, for example.
Spinach?
Spinach. Oh, yes, absolutely. Kale, not my favorite, but you can do it. Lettuce, oh, yes. Leaf lettuce, you can grow that very well all the way into December. Mustard greens.
Oh.
Well, you can do that. Radishes, always easy, fun. Spinach, that's Meg's favorite.
it actually is. I know you're being a smart aleck, but it actually is. No. I actually like spinach.
Smart aleck? Yeah. maybe. Okay. Where are we? Strawberries. And finally, and there's some others here, but these are the main ones. Turnips.
I'm not a big turnip fan, but
purple,
okay.
The one they plant.
Cool looking.
Is purple top turnips.
Yeah, they look great.
Oh, they do look. They look good.
Yeah.
But you just have to have a taste for it.
Have you ever wondered who tried some of these vegetables to begin with? That dug in the ground, pulled up a potato, and thought to themselves, I think I'll chew into that.
That's a great question.
Sweet potatoes. Yeah. I mean, think of all the things that grow underground.
Yeah. And their friends say, oh, no.
don't
do that.
Right.
So that's it. Now, Sarah's right. It's time for these vegetables.
Okay.
All the planting guys says September is a great time for that. But you've got to be prepared. You've got to get your bed right.
That was my question. If you're going to do this,
if you're going to do
can you walk us through the process of, okay, I want to start a vegetable garden this fall. What do I do first?
Here's what you do first. Pick your area, full sun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it in the shade, full sun. Okay, clean it up. Get all those weeds and all those petunias and marigolds, all those things that you planted that looked so good in the spring. Well, they don't look so good now. So clean all that up, bare dirt. Then you get these ingredients. You get Canadian sphagnum peat moss, and you put, maybe 2 inches or so.
Mm-hmm.
Spread that over the bed. Okay. Then you get some organic material like mill organite. We've talked about that.
Right.
Mill organite is an organic product. It comes from the city of Milwaukee sewage system.
Really?
Believe it or not. But it's been around forever. It's a great organic material. Slow release. Put a little bit of that. Sprinkle some of that on there. Take some lime. Dolomite lime. That's important. Dolomite. Spread a little bit of that over there.
Mm-hmm.
A little low nitrogen fertilizer, like a 4-12-12. That's a good one. Or just one that has, remember we have all three numbers. We talked about that a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be the first number should be lower than the other numbers. Okay. Spread that on the bed. So you've got those four things you've spread out.
So you're layering it in?
Layer it in. Then you get your shovel and you turn it 6 to 8 inches if you can. A tiller really works well if you have one, or if you've got a big garden, you'll need one.
Right.
To turn all that over, rake it smooth, and have at it.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic advice.
But you've added, what you've done, if you look at it, you've added all that organic material, peat moss, mill organite, called lime, if you will, and there you go.
So what you're saying for Sarah's sake is now is the time to do that.
Oh, no question. No,
this
now,
is, a good
now
time.
Is the time. Absolutely. Get that bed ready. And then in September, even in October, a lot of these vegetables, it'll be time to do them. And, one other thing, and I know I mentioned this last week, so I'm repeating myself. When you go to buy some of these vegetables at your local garden center, and you can do seeds. You can plant seeds for a lot of these. But if you're going to put transplants, look for the Bonnie Plant Farm tag. Remember we talked about it?
Yes, we did.
Bonnie Plant Farm is in Union Springs, Alabama, just down the road from the University of Georgia.
Yay.
And I just made that up because they're in Alabama.
Uh-huh.
But they are the premier growers of a lot of these transplants.
Interesting. Okay.
And so be sure to look for that. And you'll find that at most of your garden centers because they supply the Pensacola market.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're so big, they are huge, high-tech, really high-tech, because they service the Atlanta market too.
Right.
Which is, you can imagine how big a market that is. So, in any event, look for that when you're buying your transplants.
No, that's great advice. If you have a question for Mike Wiggins, and this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Back to the grass conversation. I have a text that came in. I've not applied a product to my St. Augustine grass to prevent weeds from returning. Is there anything I can do at this point?
Well, at this point, here's what you do at this point. If you've got St. Augustine grass,
mm-hmm.
and if you have some generally broadleaf weeds, let's use dollar weed as an example, you can spray it, but you want to wait till it gets cooler. You do not want to spray when it's in the 90s. I don't like spraying when it's in the mid to high 80s, but a post-emergence, which means you're going to spray the weed, kills the weed. That's post-emergence.
Mm-hmm.
Trimec is a really good one, but there are a lot of them around. But this is where we have to be so careful, especially with that St. Augustine grass. One, if you spray it when it's too hot, you're going to have some trouble. But when you buy even Trimec, spend a little time with that bottle or that can of whatever you're buying it and read it. Because so many times in very small letters, it'll say, for broadleaf weeds for southern lawns. In very little letters, it'll say, do not use on St. Augustine grass.
Oh, gosh.
Be so careful.
Read the fine print.
Read the fine print.
Oh, my goodness.
Because what's on that weed killer is the rules. That's what you've got to follow. So be real careful with that. You certainly don't want to, after all that work and fertilizer and things that you've done all summer, to have a problem here in the fall. So that's what you can do first, mm-hmm. if you want to.
Right.
Now, if you just want to prevent the weeds, you do what we talked about a minute ago. You take your pre-emergence, like I always use atrazine as an example, and do it in November.
Okay.
Then 90 days later, in February, you do it again. That is what's going to help a lot of these weeds from them, or inhibit them from coming back.
Okay, great question. Okay, and we have another question that's come in, a little bit different topic from the same person. Can you talk about agapanthus? When the flowers are spent, do you just cut the blooms off or cut the stems? Do they just bloom once a season?
One of my favorite plants.
I know.
Agapanthus, lily of the Nile.
I know.
One of my favorite. And as the texture knows, it has beautiful foliage, kind of strap-like green foliage,
mm-hmm.
and sends up the blue bloom on,
yeah,
that,
so
tall,
pretty, yeah.
on that tall stalk. They were gorgeous in Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
this spring. But she's right. It's only going to bloom at one time. And once that bloom is spent, it's gone, it's not pretty anymore.
Right.
Yes, you can clip it off. Clip off
the
stalk.
The stem. At the
yeah. Now, what I have found with mine, because I love them, is that if we have a cold, cold winter, it'll knock them back.
Mm.
And you say, oh, no, they're not going to come back. And but they do.
Okay.
They do. They are a true perennial. Now, I say they come back. If we had a, what was it, 1968, you know, single-digit cold, all bets are off. But
right.
for the most part, they will come back because they are a true perennial and a great plant. The reason I like it is not only for the blue bloom,
mm-hmm.
but for the look of the plant during the summer.
Yeah.
It's just a nice green plant that really helps in your landscape.
It's lush looking.
Perfect. Lush.
Lush.
Lush. Let me write that down for next time.
Okay.
Absolutely. No, you're right. But it really is a pretty plant, even without the bloom.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line. If you've got a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. Mike, we got another question that came in just a few minutes ago from Johnny. He says, for the last few years, I've had an invasion of stink bugs on everything, plants, vegetables, flowers. How do I get rid of them?
Wow, that really is.
Yuck.
You know, it's on everything. That's
That's not fun.
No, that's no fun. Well, what I would do, if it were me, if I really had that type of infestation, one, I'd buy me a good insecticide for whatever you've got them on as an experiment. Let's say if it's on an ornamental plant, mm-hmm. like an azalea, you're going to use something probably different than you would if it's on a tomato plant, okay? You're going to use different stuff. But Spectracide makes some real good broad-spectrum sprays that I would go ahead and sort of experiment to see if that particular product will control them. I've never really heard of an infestation this bad. But I would really buy some Spectracide, check the label, be sure it's labeled for the plant that you're going to spray, and do it and see if that doesn't help. That would be my best advice. I'm not sure I would buy something and just blanket everything I've got.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure this out and see what's going to work best. That's what I would do.
Okay, great. Great question. Thank you so much, Catherine, for sending that in. I'm sorry. That came from, let me see. Who did that come from? It was from Johnny. So thank you, Johnny, for that.
Johnny, thank you very much. Good luck. But let us know.
Yeah.
We need to know that. How
find out what if you found something that works. Yeah. Okay, so this one is from Catherine, and I'm kind of mad at you because I did not know this. But she says, please wish Mr. W. a happy birthday. Is it your birthday today?
No.
No. When is your birthday?
Thursday.
Okay. So please wish him a happy birthday. Hope he has a fun-filled day. And she says, I think it's the big, is it?
It's the big one.
It's
the big one.
Yeah, and?
It's the big one. Catherine knows. Catherine
Do
knows.
Did we say which one?
Well, she knows which one it is.
Uh-huh.
But it is the big one.
The big one. This is the big one. Okay.
I'm not handling it too well either.
Oh, but you're forever young. You're forever young.
Isn't it?
If I ever know somebody has a young spirit, it's you, buddy.
Well, maybe so, but the calendar doesn't
The calendar's not say that. Well, happy birthday in advance
for this Thursday. Thank you very much. We we're looking forward to it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something fun for a celebration.
Got a couple things going on.
Good.
It will be fun.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Catherine. I didn't realize that.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm remiss in not knowing.
Thank you, Catherine.
All of us at the Garden Line, happy birthday to the Garden Line King.
And thank you for keeping us straight,
yes,
Catherine, on
she always
these
does.
Important dates. Thank you very much.
Okay.
She is special.
She is. Okay, we've got a lot going on here at the Garden Line this morning. We've talked about everything from seeds to plants to garden vegetables, all in the spirit of fall and the fact that it is September. And if you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620, please text it in. We've got plenty of time left. What have we not touched about in terms of getting ready for fall or being in
this.
Fall now?
Yeah, let's do a little lightning round here
of
some things that you might want to do.
Great.
First of all, you may want to start thinking about your fall bulbs. A lot of people buy them online, which is good. A lot of garden centers have them. They are tulips, hyacinths, ranunculus.
What does ranunculus look like?
It's a little bitty. Well, it's what they call a minor bulb, which I don't think is minor.
Uh-huh.
It's just got a very small bloom, and generally it's probably going to be an annual, and generally it's not going to come back. It should, but.
Is it a particular color?
I think red.
Oh, red. Okay.
It's a pretty one, yes. But here's the big deal. On your tulips and your hyacinths, you have to buy them early and put them in the refrigerator for 6 weeks.
Really?
What you're trying to do is to fool them to make them think they're in Chicago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Or they won't do well.
No kidding. Yeah, I've never heard of this.
Tulips and hyacinths. Now, the thing about tulips.
See, this is sneaky stuff. This is the stuff gardeners don't tell you.
Oh, that's right. Exactly right.
This is the stuff my sister, she was a great gardener, would never. She probably was putting that thing in there 6 weeks ahead. She
exactly.
never told me.
This.
I don't know, Meg. Just put the tulip bulb in the ground. I don't know why yours isn't growing.
Okay. But here's what you got to do. You've got to realize what you're getting with tulips.
Okay.
And they are gorgeous, of course. Especially if you live a little further up north. And a lot of our listeners who have lived up north know that. They probably plant tulips all the time, and they come back. But here, one, they're not going to come back. And they sometimes depending on the spring we have, just aren't as pretty as you would want them to be. But you know, a lot of people try them and enjoy them while they are pretty. So in any event, so that's tulips. Hyacinths, kind of the same way. Refrigerator, plant them. I'd plant them in, oh, probably December.
Okay.
Would be a good time to plant them. So we kind of back up 6 weeks
mm-hmm.
and buy them. Keep in mind one other thing, too. This is one little, not a hint, but it's something to pay attention to. If you go to your garden center and you've got a bin full of tulips and hyacinths, okay, buy the biggest out of that bin.
Okay.
In other words, they've got some that are two for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Well, get the two biggest ones in that bin. You're just going to get a better bloom and a stronger plant.
Interesting.
With the larger there is. Now, how would you plant them? The general rule is any of these fall bulbs, you plant them 2.5 times their diameter. If it's an inch, you plant them 2.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the key there. And I wish I could be more positive about the tulips,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to. You want to plant them, have them come back every year and enjoy them.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. I wish it would, but it doesn't. But there is one that will do for the fall bulb. We got to take a quick break.
Okay, yeah, we'll come back with that one, okay, so don't go away. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line. Just a couple minutes left. We were touching on the flowers, and you were about to tell us something right before the break.
Well, yes. What I was going to say, we talked about the tulips and the hyacinths.
Yes.
Putting them in the refrigerator. And I don't mean to be pessimistic here. If you love tulips, go ahead and do that. Plant them, and I bet you'll have some better luck than I've had.
Well, now that I know to put them in the refrigerator for 6 weeks, I think I'll probably do a lot better.
Probably do a lot better. You're right. But they really want to be in Chicago.
Yeah, and also the bulb tip. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And here we go. But here's one that we can plant. You don't have to refrigerate it, and it does great, and it will come back year after year.
Okay.
That's a daffodil.
Oh, a daffodil. I like daffodils.
Now, I don't know if we have time today, but daffodils, certain varieties will come back.
Mm-hmm.
The one I've always talked about is Carlton. A Carlton daffodil will repeat itself generally year after year. Now, we had a caller one year on the Garden Line, Meg, who said, you're right, Mike, Carlton will come back, but there's another one that will come back. I wrote it down,
mm-hmm.
and I lost it.
Oh, no.
If she's listening, please, help me remember which one you like. That comes back every year. The Carlton is a yellow one, of course,
mm-hmm.
which really is a really pretty daffodil. And they come in different colors. They come white.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. But your ranunculus and your anemones, those little bulbs, you don't have to refrigerate those. You
plant
those, and they'll come up. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that, especially how to plant them,
mm-hmm.
because there's some things you need to incorporate in the whole when you plant them.
Right.
And we can talk about all of that another day. I did want to mention real quick.
Yep, 20 seconds. Time,
20 seconds. You might want to think about fertilizing your azaleas at half the rate that you did in the spring, and you can use your winterizer fertilizer.
Okay.
Good, that's it. Good.
All right.
That's
thank it. You so that's much, okay. Mike. Happy birthday to you this Thursday.
Oh, thank you. Thank
this
you.
Is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. And if you want to listen to it again, you can always go to our podcast page and click on The Garden Line.